Hello, welcome to the next episode of our Mental Health and Wellbeing in COVID-19. This is episode 21, can you believe it? My name is Theron Knightenfitt, and I have been with you, I guess, for 21 days, and I will be with you until lockdown 2.0 ends, whenever that is, unless we're going to lockdown 3.0, and we'll have to see how we go. So today's theme is called recession or depression. Bit of a play on words there. The answer is definitely both. Today we have a guest speaker, or a guest that I will be interviewing, Sid Payman, the Executive Director of Cape Chamber of Commerce, who's an expert in business and someone who has also struggled with depression in his life and career. So he really can quite authoritatively speak into this moment. But more about him in a moment. Let's just do a quick recap of what we looked at in the previous episode. I had an interview with Caitlin De Beer, a really successful life coach who coaches people in the corporate space and the sort of work sector, but also she has quite a thriving business with mothers, and she's got that Instagram handle, that Mum Coach. We chatted about mom guilt, and then we applied that not just to moms, but even to myself as a dad. Obviously, I don't feel it the same as a mom does, but all of us are struggling with guilt at this time. And we looked at some of the ways that we can try to alleviate that or try to respond effectively to that. And we did a bit of a refresher on self-compassion. And I want to encourage you again to go look at that previous episode on self-compassion if you didn't, because that's very helpful. We chatted a bit about cognitive behavioral therapy and how thoughts lead to emotions, which lead to behavior. Very similar to the cycle of emotional addiction, which we've also covered. She gave us some key tips. She said it's okay to personalize this. It is personal. It's okay. It's okay to be feeling whatever you're feeling. The trick is to find out what works as a coping mechanism for yourself and to have a number of them. She also mentioned that we should protect our psyche. If getting too much information about COVID-19 is proving to be unhelpful, well, then stop watching the news. Unfollow certain channels or even mute people if you don't want to unfollow them completely. Protect your psyche. So that's some of the stuff we looked at in the previous episode. As I said, today we're looking at depression or recession, or the other way around, actually, recession or depression. Now, a lot has been reported on the economic impact of this. In fact, if you watch the news, it doesn't matter which news channel you watch, the three things they talk about are essentially what's happening in the economy, jobs lost, etc., and then infections and death rates. I mean, essentially, those are the things that are being reported on. So if you haven't been exposed to the fact that the economy's been impacted, then I don't know where you've been. We saw it here in South Africa, initially with the government official Cyril and his team saying we're going to take a pay cut. Then executives around the country followed suit. And then, of course, now it's gone even lower than that into organizations where people are having pay cuts left, right and center. If you haven't had a pay cut and those around you, or should I say all those around you, haven't been affected, then you really are in a minority, because I think everyone is being affected by this. So the economic impact has been widely reported on, okay? And obviously, this isn't the place for us to talk about that. You can go watch the news if you want to hear those things. But what's interesting is that, and our focus, of course, has been mental health and well-being, the impact of all of these things, especially some of these economic things, on our mental health. Now, if you're familiar with the idea of a perfect storm is essentially when different weather conditions collide, when you've got high pressure and low pressure, and you've got high moisture content or high dust content, and different factors that collide to create a weather system which can become more and more aggravated as you add dynamics in. Then you add the topography or the landscape, there's mountains or there's ocean, and the things all play off each other, and you get this sort of snowball effect. Now we're seeing that in the current moment as well. We're not only just not working at the office anymore, we're at home, but being at home means we've got family, we've got perhaps infrastructure issues with poor internet, we've got communication issues now with our team. All these things add on and you get this sort of snowballing of impact. Now add into that the psychological impact of this moment and you've got a perfect storm. People all around the world in this sort of psychological care community, psychiatrists, psychologists, therapists, they're all saying that this moment has exacerbated the underlying or pre-existent mental illnesses of their clients. But not only that, it is sparking mental illness, it is sparking depressive symptoms, it is increasing anxiety around people who hadn't been diagnosed with those issues in the past or before COVID-19. So it's a perfect storm. Now, the impact that depression has on the economy is another well understood dynamic. So you get this sort of vicious circle and cycle happening. The South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG, published an article in 2015 from a study. And obviously, you know, they classify depression as a mood disorder. And people mostly, I think the general public, mostly associate depression with sadness or with, you know, a loss of pleasure in daily activities or social isolation or feelings of worthlessness. But quite apart from those things, which are very real and are, you know, debilitating experiences for people who suffer from them, apart from that, it also affects the way someone behaves, which plays out in their work as well. And it drastically affects your cognitive processes and your thinking. It makes it more difficult to concentrate. You become more easily distracted. Your memory gets, you know, is attacked by the whole moment, and forgetfulness becomes more of a reality. Indecisiveness, you slowing your thinking speeds, and essentially making you unable to problem solve in effective ways. Sometimes you may struggle to find the words to express yourself, to even to communicate with your colleagues. And negative or distorted thinking patterns, of course, arise. So the way this plays out in work is with absenteeism or presenteeism, which is a word that means you're there, but you're not really there. It increases our stress in the workplace, our burnout. Productivity takes a dive. Anxiety around disclosing this information to HR or to our manager is a real thing. And many people, most people, don't feel comfortable to do that. And most of the people who do don't receive any support after they do. So you can see this perfect storm, the snowballing effect. And when you add in remote working and the chaos of this moment, it's a recipe for disaster, essentially a downward spiral, if you remember the work of Barbara Fredrickson. So let's just look very briefly at some stats around depression, and then we will dive into our chat today with Sid. So 1 in 4 people in the South African workforce suffer from depression. It costs an estimated 232 billion or 5.7% of our GDP. You know, that's what is lost. And this is fascinating. I came across this earlier as I was researching for this. In 2001, it was reported that depression was expected to be the second most common disease by 2020. 2001, they said that. In 2018, 2 years ago, the World Economic Forum said this. They said mental health disorders cost the global economy $1 trillion in lost productivity each year, with depression being the leading cause of health and disability. So it was anticipated to be the second highest this year. 2 years ago already, they were saying it was already the leading cause of workplace disability. But of course, this isn't about the economy. It's about humans. It's about you. It's about me. It is about those we love. The economy, you know, at the end of the day is, you know, people contribute to the economy, but the economy serves us. And the impact that this is all having in this perfect storm will impact the economy even more, which will then play out and impact us even more. So I don't want to make this about the economy. This is about you and me. This is about our mental health. And it's really important for us to remember that. Okay, so let's dive into our conversation with Sid. Let me just introduce him a little bit more. I told you that he's the executive director of the Cape Chamber of Commerce. And because of that, he has a great perspective into the grassroots of the economy. You know, the Cape Chamber is a perfect cross-section from every sector of the economy in every sort of level, small business, medium, big business, corporate, etc. And it has 2,000 member organizations. You know, the organization has 2,000 companies that are members of it. So great understanding of what's happening in the economy right now, but at a grassroots level. He often plays that, he's in that space between the interplay between the economy or the business sector and also the government sector. When Eskom is doing its thing and when there's drought, Sid is often there in that intersection between business and what's happening in the world. So he makes for the perfect candidate to chat about today in terms of this interplay, and even more so because of his own struggles, which he's been very open about sharing around suffering from depression and So because of that, he brings a deeply human angle to this economic moment. So let's get Sid on. Sid, can you hear me? Are you there?
I can, yes. And I can see you. And you're wearing a tie, bro.
I wore a tie for you today.
Man, this remote working is so cool. And you're wearing a tie. You're wearing pants as well. No, man.
I'm wearing pants. Listen.
I'm stop judging people. Just
today's the first day I've worn a tie. I was like, I'm speaking to a legit executive. And here you are in your practically in your pajamas.
Oh, you wanted a legit executive. Oh, sorry. I misunderstood.
Anyway, welcome. Welcome to the show today. It's great to have you. And thanks for being willing to contribute to this and to lend your experience and the insights that come from that. So let's dive in and ask you some questions. Now, obviously, we don't want to exacerbate the fear and anxiety in this moment. But as I mentioned, you are someone who has a really close eye on what is happening. And you're involved at very high levels, even in government. And then, of course, at the grassroots level. So tell us what are you expecting this new reality to look like in the world of work, perhaps in the South African economy? What are we in for?
Okay. I think a lot of people are focusing on the post-COVID era, or, you know, when this is all over. We're not focusing on that. We're focusing on the era now. Obviously, it's been devastating for some or for many people, especially the marginalized communities, when it comes to the basics. There are, on the other end of the scale, there are a lot of companies that have adapted to remote working. I tried to introduce remote working about a year ago. There was a lot of resistance and this and that, and how do we know and whatever. But then when the lockdown came, we managed to do it in 24 hours. So shows you how convincing I am. For us, it's been an amazing experience. I know that word doesn't resonate with many, especially in business. But you use the word perfect storm. And I think that's how we have to see it. A storm comes and goes. Okay. And yes, it is a storm. But, you know, using the analogy of a boat, we had a hole in the boat, a number of holes in the boat. The biggest one, obviously, was Eskom. We still have to fix those. So those aren't going to go away. There's no vaccine that's going to come along and fix the state-owned enterprise issue. My karate instructor expressed it well. He said, intelligence will just hamper your progress. You know, and we don't have the data at the moment to make intelligent decisions. So the government makes the safest decision that they can. My personal opinion, and you must take it for what it is that lockdown will be lifted in its entirety when the vaccine is out. And hopefully that will be by March 2021. So what are we going to see from now until then?
Sir, let me just jump in quickly. That's a year away.
Correct.
You're saying we're going to be in lockdown for a year. I can feel everybody's heart rates have just increased and they're sweating.
You can't have zero risk. And when a lockdown started initially, the government defaulted to zero risk. You know, if we're shutting down everything. So there's no contamination, there's no epidemic. We've contained it as much as we can. But you can't do that. There's a risk inherent in many things, and if you try and engineer out the risk, you engineer out the opportunity. So what's happening now is government, I think, understands that if you engineer out the economy totally, at the end of the day, people don't have as healthy a situation. Now, the health of the economy is easy to measure, GDP, but the health of people is a lot more complicated.
Well, let's segue there into that. Sorry, I do want to hear about your dog that barks, but save that thought. Tell me about the impact that this is having in the sort of, you know, quote unquote, softer side of things, which is not softer. It's a heck of a lot harder. The mental health, the impact that it's having and what you could see from your experience with some of your life story and how this plays out. Then we're going to transition into saying, what can we do about this? How can we mitigate some of this? And how can we set ourselves up for success? Okay, tell me about your dog.
Oh, no, I was just going to use that as an example. When my dog barks, it upsets the neighbor, but I feel reassured. So it's the same thing that's happening. but you know, people interpret it differently. So how you interpret the lockdown is also important. When it comes to mental health, I have seen some data that says the prescription numbers for anxiolytics and antidepressants have gone up substantially in the United States. So I presume that's happened here as well. I think as people, we want certainty. And the minute you don't have that certainty, it causes anxiety. And it causes and depression and any mood disorder will result from a situation that arises from one that you can't control. So the first thing we have to give up is that need for absolute certainty, because that's not going to happen. You know, you can have all the information in the world, but you can't predict exactly what's going to happen next week. The competitive currency today has been also accentuated. It's not knowledge, it's innovation. You know, you want to know something, go into Google and figure it out. You know, you want to learn how to remove someone's appendix, you know, just Google it and I'm sure you could do it. It's about innovation. And we innovate constantly. My saying at work, it probably stresses a few people out, which I shouldn't do, but it's, if no one dies, the risk is acceptable. Okay? You have to understand that it's about innovation. Now, the thing with innovation is, I mean, I feel like a fool most of the time because I'm dealing with things I've never dealt with before. But I can feel like a fool, but if you tell yourself you are a fool, that's going to be a slippery slope. Okay, yeah. So you can see there all these events that are happening that can put us down the slippery slope. Now, I think for myself, I won't say I'm lucky enough to be managing depression for the past 40 years, but I'm very aware of those thought patterns because I have major depression, I manage it, and it doesn't really affect my life that much anymore because of the experience that I've had with it. And I think it's helped me an enormous amount through lockdown. And between you and me, I'm supposed to be in New York at the moment, but I've been to New York before. But I've never been through a lockdown. So this is an amazing experience. Yeah. And to be quite honest with you, you know, I wouldn't shout this from the rooftop, but I'm having a whale of a time. I mean, I don't have to drive to work. You know, I mean, you don't know if I'm wearing pants or not. Anyway, I haven't shaved, but
you don't know where your ties are.
I'm locked up with my gorgeous young fiance, you know, who can't go anywhere, and and my dog thinks it's in heaven. We're spending the whole day with her. Just the way I've interpreted it for myself, it's been an absolute treat for me. Although I don't want to sound callous about it, because obviously it has affected many people and negatively. You know, especially the small business. You know, look, for a lot of small businesses being lifted. So the plumber's back in action. They're now seen as an essential service. And I buggered up the drain here the other day, and luckily I could call the plumber. We'll see a gradual lifting, and unfortunately or fortunately, many people in the workforce are going to have to reinvent themselves.
Can you give us, you know, you said you have the fortunate reality, without being callous about it, of having managed your depression well. You obviously have a long history with it, so you have learned the relationship with depression. You've obviously learned the symptoms. You can see it coming when you start feeling those things. What from a personal perspective, obviously you're not a psychologist yourself, neither am I, but from a personal perspective, for those who are suffering from depression, or people, maybe this is new for some people, they're experiencing depressive symptoms and it's out of the blue for them. From your depth of experience with this, are there a couple of pieces of advice or tips that you could give to the viewers, so that their experience at this moment can be elevated?
Well, look, it's very much an unknown situation for everybody. So firstly, nobody's an expert. When it comes to depression, I use an acronym, TMETS. So it's two M's, it's medication and mindfulness. And the ease of eating and exercise, which are challenging, especially during the lockdown. Then there's a therapy and the talk to yourself. I disagree with the fact that the way you're thinking is okay. If the way you're thinking is not making you feel well, it's not okay. You've got to find an alternative to that. And then there's socializing and sleep. Socializing is crucially important. Sleep, the evidence is kind of all over the place. There's actually evidence to say that sleep deprivation relieves depression. But with socializing, that can be an important aspect to it. And I have noticed, and I've been in some meetings where they, some corporates are Zoom, are using Zoom, and they switch off the video. And when I do the Zoom meetings, the videos are on, and I encourage the videos to be on. And it's a completely different situation. Those other meetings that I've seen with the videos off, it's the same old crap. It's tense. There's the politics. You can't see the people's facial expression. You have to interpret the voice. It just doesn't work. So the one suggestion I can make is that if you are going to use Zoom, use the video. I know you don't want to put on makeup. I mean, I didn't put on makeup. You know, it's a big deal. It's just people might see that you're human. I mean,
yeah.
So the video is crucially important. I've seen that difference. So that's important to understand that. Look, the eating's a challenge. The exercise is a major challenge. For some people, they're in total isolation. They're on their own, I think back of times I was a bachelor, I was on my own. Watch what you like. You don't have to bother. You can do, life's your own. Whatever. You have to take out of it what you can for yourself. But you must understand the main thing is that this is a storm. And storms come and storms go. And this one will be gone hopefully well within a year. You never know. The vaccine trials might be accelerated.
Yeah.
Also the treatments will improve as well.
Yeah.
But we do not have enough data to lift the lockdown.
Great. Well, Sid, thank you so much for your input today. We've run out of time, so we're going to have to call it here. Thanks for your willingness to be part of this and your input both from the economic and industry side and then also from your own personal experience. Really appreciate you taking the time.
You're most welcome. Thanks so much.
Now, you may be,
I
will take off this tie as soon as I'm done here with you. You may be going through this together with others. You may be alone, but we are all in this together. And how encouraging is it to realize that we do have control over certain things? I love that two METs idea that Sid shared with us. We cannot be in control and in charge of everything. There is so much outside of our control. So let's try and let that go. And try and take a vested interest in the things that we can control. I'll see you again in the next episode.